Hallelujah. So we just want to get into God's word tonight and look at the scriptures, and God's word is ever refreshing, ever powerful. We believe in his name. Hallelujah. Glory to the name of the Lord. Amen, amen. You know, I got this word, amen, amen, from Pastor Seku Abodunri. Amen, amen. That one I got it from Pastor Seku. Then are you still there? Or Matthew's Gospel from Pastor Christian Noika. You know, those are the two men that I majorly read.
You actually said it very, very well. Like, you got it so well.
You know, so that I got this from this man, you know. You know, because the truth is that we men are products of influence of other men. All right? Men are products of influence of other men. It's how it's always been. So when you hear someone that sounds like another person, it means that the person has been blessed or has listened well enough and subjected themselves to that person's teaching, such that they now sound like that person. Some people do not admit it. Some people are very arrogant about it. They say, no, why would you be sounding like him? You should be yourself. No, they are students. You know, when they saw the disciples of Jesus Christ, they said they sound like Jesus. Says they knew that these ones had been with Jesus because they thought, sounded, acted like Jesus. That's how the student does. He teaches like his teacher. That's how you know someone that is learning from it, like learning from somebody. He sounds like him. He teaches like him. All right? Teaches like him. Uses his gestures, you know. Sometimes his voice sounds like the person. That's exactly how it is. Myself, you know, if we are doing what we call Holy Ghost meeting, you know, Holy Ghost meeting, if you are doing Holy Ghost meeting, the way I minister the gifts of the Spirit is the same way Pastor Chris does it. It's the exact way, because I learned from him. Okay, that's how it happens. If the person you learn from, that's how you behave. So that's just what it is, really. You know, God uses men to influence us. You know, he uses men always, you know, to influence us. His word, the way God, nobody can just say, I'm self-made. No, you are influenced by men. And that's God's way. Amen. Hallelujah. So we have been talking about the new creation. Now, it depends on what you want to learn from me. I don't know what you want to learn from me, you know. You can learn. I don't know what I, you know, some of these things are, you do not think about it. They're intuitive. Just happen, you know. Anyways, so God's word. Let's look at God's word. Amen. We are looking at evangelism and the abilities in evangelism. I think it's something of that nature. The abilities of evangelism, the abilities in evangelism. In this series, we are looking at what the believer can do, how the believer can do the evangelism, the evangelistic work. We have certain abilities that are founded upon the grace that's given for evangelism, and those things you might not find them until you actually go out on evangelism. But there are abilities that rest within the believer, you know, as by his nature. Amen. So has he sent it, Richard? Waiting for you. Now, in our new creation series, I mentioned that it's the most detailed teaching that we have. If you have not listened to that teaching, I would really, really implore you to do that. You have to listen to it. Even myself, I have to still go back to listen to it myself. I listen to my own teaching. I learn from what I teach, because I know what I'm doing here is a grace. I am not the custodian, the primary custodian of this ability. It's a grace of God that's given to me as a teacher of God's word. So when I teach, I should learn from my own teaching. Some people teach and they say, oh, I taught that. No, the teaching goes beyond the words that I use, but it also has the grace upon it. There's a grace that drives it. There's a grace upon it. God's grace is upon the teaching of his word. All right. So I said in the teaching of new creation series, we explained that the Bible shows us that from the beginning, God's plan was for man to, you know, populate the world in his image. That when he said, let them go and be fruitful and multiply, he wasn't speaking merely of childbirth. He was speaking about the evangelism, the men that will become in the image of God. That's why we established that all men are not in the image of God. We all are in the image of God in a promissory sense. But we are not in the image of God in a reality. that is in the reality, because to be in the image of God means to be in Christ, to be born of God. We are all in God's image as a promissory note, in a promissory note, excuse me, right? But we are not in God's, all, we are not all in God's image in reality until we accept the Christ. Look at Hebrews chapter 2 verse 9 quickly. Just look at Hebrews 2. Let's just quickly see Hebrews chapter 2 just for to clarify that a bit more in case someone is concerned. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. Glory to your name. Hebrews 2 says in verse 6, if you look at verse 6, for one in one place the scripture says, I'm reading the NLT translation, Hebrews 2 verse 6, for in one place the scriptures say, what are mere mortals that you should think about them, or the son of man that you should care for him? That's quoting Psalms chapter 8, right? It says, yet you have made them only a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor, right? You gave them authority over all things. Now, when it says all things, it means nothing is left out. But we have not yet seen all these things put under their authority. But we do see Jesus, who was given a position a little lower than the angels. And because he suffered death for us, he is now crowned with that glory and honor that was promised to men, that man in Genesis. We see Christ first. We do not see it in that man, but we now see Christ first, crowned in that glory and honor of authority over all things that God has created. It says, yes, by God's grace, Jesus tasted death for every man. So that means for that man to get into that authority, that place of where is the image of God, your exercise authority, right? It means that a man has to die and resurrect. And that is what happens to Jesus Christ first. And then we now, by faith in him, also receive that, all right, that gift of salvation, or the gift of the newborn spirit, the gift of the image of God. So we now dwell in the image of God. 2 Corinthians 5 would then say in verse 17, if any man be in Christ, that's the image of God. If any man be in the image of God, image of God. Colossians 1:15, Hebrews 1 verse 3, 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4, they all establish that Jesus is the image of God. I'll say it again. Colossians 1 verse 15, Hebrews 1 verse 3, 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4. One more scripture, I think it's Colossians 3 verse 10, established that Jesus is the image of God. Okay, I haven't received all right, let me just quickly send this to him. Pardon me, guys. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right. I've sent it. All right. So if any man be in the image of God, right? I say Colossians 1 verse 15, Hebrews 1 verse 3, 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4, Colossians 3 verse 10. They all establish that Jesus is the image of God. So human being Christ is now that new creation, is now the image of God that was planned in Genesis, right? So that all things are passed away, which means the natural has now received the supernatural. So the man ceases to be a natural man, right? He's now a spiritual supernatural man, or a natural man that now has a supernatural nature. A supernatural nature and a supernatural ability that comes with the nature. Paul in 1 Corinthians 12 calls it the charisma, the gift of the Spirit, the endowment of God's Spirit. That is the gift of God and the abilities that come with the nature that we see in Christ. So, evangelism means we want to get every other person to be in that same state. Every other man to receive the gift of God, which is what? Eternal life. So we can call it the image of God. We can call it new creation. We can call it having eternal life. We can call it the gift of the Spirit. We can call it the Holy Ghost. We can call it Christ in you. Right? We can call it the promised land. We're going to go into all of those things much later on. However, essentially, it's important for us to know that the book of Genesis establishes that men are meant to be in the image of God by faith in Christ. Okay, so So we should not stay in a place where we are saying we do not need to evangelize. No, we need to evangelize. We are it's a necessity. Paul says, woe be unto me if I do not preach the gospel. That is, it were better that I were just an unbeliever. It's a shameful thing that I should not preach the gospel. I want us to know this. If we are not preaching the gospel, we are not in God's will. Once you are in a state where you are not preaching the will, the gospel of Christ, you are not right with God. Let's put it that way. I know that we have used this word, you are not right with God, to mean something else, but you are not right by not preaching the gospel. No, you must preach the gospel. We must preach the gospel. You must be in a place where you are constantly learning the gospel and also be able to preach the gospel. Praise the Lord. So you must preach the gospel because it's the mandate that's given to the believer. Someone say, but I'm not ready to preach the gospel. I'm not yet perfect. No, God is the perfecter. God is the helper. You have the Holy Ghost. He will help you. Hallelujah. He will help you. And by teachings like this, you are helped of God to be able to preach. But notice this. If you are not preaching the gospel, you are not in the plan of God, the will of God. It doesn't mean God is angry with you, right? It doesn't mean God is going to punish you for it. No, we know our God, but it just means you are not in his will. Right. So we now say that we have to preach because someone had to preach to you before. Alright, you got saved. And we said something, that there's a specific way that the believer is sent to preach the gospel or to share the gospel. Kalabashatoza. Kinombaha. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Mumbaha. Yeah, no cocos fake. Ah na ha ha ha. Yes, Lord. In this meeting we receive clarity. There's no confusion or distraction. There's remove that care. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We just pray for anyone that's not that has a fear. Lord, I just pray. Let there be rest. Let there be rest. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So we said there's a specific way to preach the gospel. There's a specific way. And it is not just a blanket, you know, opportunity for everyone to express themselves. We said that evangelism is meant to be by preaching. Preaching. That is actually in words, specifically. In words, I can see it. Specifically in words. We are not preaching, we are not evangelizing. Look at Matthew's gospel. Look at it. Matthew's gospel. Look at it, chapter 28. In verse 18. Look at it. Matthew's gospel 28, verse 18. It says, and Jesus came and spake unto them and saying, all authority, that's the word power, all power, that's the word authority, is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, teaching them, see what, teaching, that word teach is words, them to observe the things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of this world. So you must know this, or we must know this as believers, that we are sent to teach the gospel. Making disciples means you're meant to educate them. It's not, he didn't ask us to go and begin to express yourself so that I can use your expressions to save mankind. No. Jesus didn't call us to be to use our initial abilities to express the gospel or to preach the gospel or to extend his kingdom. Jesus called us with new abilities, with a new template of how to preach the gospel, and he said it's by preaching. He didn't call us to, someone say, I am called to dance. I'm called to dance. You know, the Lord has called me to dance. He has called me to, you know, just express myself. God has blessed me in the area of politics. It's my gifting. God has called me to be an actress. I will act for Christ. So that's just like carnality speaking. It's fear for being real with God or being true to his word. It's a fear for the consequence of that. Being labeled as an over-spiritual person. Say, no, I'm not called. I'm just a singer. I'm a worshiper. I'm just a worshiper. And God will use my voice to save souls. I'm a worshiper. So I'm just saying, my own, I'm called to deliverance. I'm not called to preach you. I'm not called to preach. No. So I'm called as a banker. That one likes money. So you know, different. So they will then use scriptures to confirm our personal bias. It's called confirmation bias. In theology, it's called individualism. Individualistic theology. That is where people are allowed to give interpretations of scripture based on their own biases. So you have people say stuff like, what does that scripture mean to you personally? It's actually an alien practice that was not practiced in early times, not even amongst unbelievers. It wasn't even practiced among the Jews. You won't find the Jews say, what is that scripture? They always wanted to know, what does the scripture mean? Now, it's one thing for you to say, what does it mean? Another thing for you to not agree. But they were all keen about understanding it. They were all keen about understanding the scriptures. You won't find any of them. This was a recent practice. I think it was maybe the 19th century that the Western theology came and influenced the normal theology. You have people say, the Bible might not mean the same things to everybody. It can mean anything different. No, God is diverse. Ooh! Jesus said, go and teach them what I commanded you. That means what Jesus taught is what you teach. What he did not teach, you do not teach. Hallelujah. How Jesus taught is how you teach. How Jesus did not teach is how you should not teach, because we are to be followers of Christ. Peter says, Christ has laid down us a template for us to follow. Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So that means there's a template that is not meant to be innovated upon. You don't innovate it. It's not your business. It is the business of God. Jesus said, don't you know that I will be about my Father's concerns? My Father's business. Don't you know that? It's not yours. In 1 Corinthians 4 verse 1, Paul says, account that we are stewards of Christ. We are servants of Christ. We are not trying to build our empire. We are trying to do what God has called us to do. So say, I'm a model. God used my beauty to win souls. Hallelujah. That's special. God used your beauty to win souls. How many souls have you? Ask those people, how many souls have you won with your beauty? Error in transmission. How many souls have you won? Are they filled with the Holy Ghost by your beauty? Someone says, just see your fine girl. Say, all about see cut salad about it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I give my life to you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I surrender all to you. Does it happen like that? Some say, you might not be a preacher. That's how you know someone that's about to enter nonsense. He's about to say rubbish. You might not. Jesus said, go and preach the gospel. Teach. Educate. Don't say, I'm a business. God has called me to be a, not to be a preacher, but to be a kingdom financier. You might not preach. You might just be a financier of the kingdom. You know, kingdom. We call it kingdom. Kingdom this, kingdom that. And some of these things you won't find them in scriptures. Don't say, I'm called to preach. I'm called to just, tell people about love. That's just atheism. Universalism. In fact, universalism is worse. Let's just say atheism. Alright? So, we are not called to just do anything. In Jesus' time, there was entertainment. In Jesus' time, there was all manner of entertainment and all that stuff. But Jesus asked us to go and teach, to preach. So I said that Jesus said, what I taught is what you teach. Then if you look at something, Jesus taught them. He says, go and teach the, Matthew, let's look at that Matthew 28. Look at it again. Matthew 28, verse 20 now. Matthew 28 verse 20 says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So he now calls the attention that they're meant to only teach what he has taught them. So when he spent 40 days teaching them, he laid down certain principles that they would take time to arrive at a maturity of. So he gave them a template. He gave them instructions. He says, go and teach what I have commanded you. He says, lo, I am with you always unto the end of the world. Now, he then says, look at Acts chapter 2. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Before Acts chapter 2. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 3. Or let's start from verse 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. Let's see something. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus. That's a letter to Theophilus. By Luke, obviously. Of all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he showed himself, or presented himself, after, himself alive after his suffering, by many unmistakable proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So he told them things pertaining to the kingdom of God, that's the reign of God, right? So he gave them certain instructions. But then look at Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Acts 2, verse 42. It says, now, verse 41 says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Verse 42, it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and prayers. So they continued in the apostles' doctrine. What was the doctrine of the apostles? The doctrine that Jesus had taught them. The doctrine that Jesus Christ has laid down for them. So we are not called to innovate. There's a tradition to follow. And the scripture that many people often use to justify all manner of things is Romans chapter 12. Look at Romans chapter 12. Amen. Look at verse 3. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. It says, for I say, if I'm too fast, just let me know. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt with every man, according as God has dealt to every man, every man, the measure of faith. So what he's saying here is that God had given him a grace. Paul himself is saying, God has given me a grace to preach the gospel to you. And also, God has given everybody a grace according to the measure of faith that they have or they choose to express. There's a grace for every level of measure of faith that the believer chooses to express. Now, pay attention to this. What he's not saying here is that everybody has different... Let's read on. Verse 4. It says, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. That word office is the word function. Alright? It says, so we being many are one body in Christ. And everyone members of one another, having then gifts according to the grace that is given to us. Now, look at this. It says, whether prophecy, let us prophesy. So there's a gift or there's a grace to prophesy. He's not speaking about individualistic gifts. That is, gifts that are only operable by one person or singular persons exclusively. That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about exclusive gifts. Now, look at it again. It says, he's talking about the functions in the church. So he said, having gifts differing, that's functions, differing, giving that is given to us, right? Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, that's ministry involves teaching, laying on of hands, all of that stuff, ministry. Okay? Let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teacheth on teaching, that is, in the church, you'll find teachers, you'll find prophets, You find ministers, general people that just minister generally, right? You find people have different functions according to the measure of faith. Okay, so people grow into certain gifts. Pay attention. So it says in verse 8, or he that exhorteth, that's the one that teaches, right? Exhorteth, right? On exhortation, he that giveth. Now, people will think, yes, there are people, these are kingdom financiers. People that give, you know, there are certain people that are called to give. Yeah, you know, you are graced to give. You are graced to give. Come on, that's not what it's saying here. He said, let him say, he that giveth, let him do with what? Liberality. Then he then said, he that ruleth with diligence. Now you might think, he that ruleth might mean a governor or a politician, but that's not what he meant here. When he says he that ruleth, if you look at Acts chapter 20, verse 28, look at something quickly. Look at Acts chapter 20. Acts 20, verse 28. It says, take heed therefore unto yourselves. Are you there? Take heed therefore unto yourselves to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost had made you what? Overseers. To feed the church, to shepherd the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. So this is a ruler in the church. That is a shepherd, an elder. The mistake we often make is that we often read the Bible texts with we use our personal thoughts, personal biases to interpret text of the scripture, forgetting the context of the scripture. If you know the context of Romans, the book of Romans itself, you will not interpret it that way, because the book of Romans was written to Christians, right? Both those who had converted from Jewish religion and the Gentiles. It was talking to Christians who were in abject persecution at that time under the Roman tyranny. They were in serious, sometimes some of them would take into, you know, the circus, as it was called, where they would be killed, and it was seen as an entertainment, right? Christians were mocked. Christians were really taken for granted. You understand? They're seen as people that are deluded. You know, mostly poor people were just the population of it anyways. But he was encouraging them to make themselves available still to serve the Lord despite that persecution. Despite the persecution. He gives them that order. He helps them. He encourages them to keep functioning. If you look back to that Romans 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. You see, in the midst of persecution, it says living sacrifice. He's not talking about your dance or let's say begin to evangelize. Let us evangelize according to different gifts. No, dancing, singing, modeling, acting, drama, just name it, just call it kingdom feminist, kingdom writer, kingdom this, Holy Ghost that, Holy Ghost carpenter, Holy Ghost mathematician. God has given you a grace to do mathematics. You can do mathematics to preach the gospel. No, that's not what he was saying. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. That is, give your life for Christ. Holy and acceptable, sacred for Christ, which is your reasonable service. He was talking about service in the church. Hallelujah. He then says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, and to prove that which is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So you see the context. The context will help you to define the terms. That's why he then says, for the grace of God is given to me to preach to you, and everyone of you is giving grace to function in the church. So he's asking us to be made available for the service of God. Look at it again. Verse 8. He that ruleth, verse 8, with diligence. That is, stay teaching, stay shepherding. It says, he that showeth mercy, right? He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. What is it, cheerfulness? He's talking, referring to a cheerful giver, right? To provide, to help people that I need, or in a place where they need mercy, they need help. Let love be without dissimulation or hypocrisy, right? Do not say things and not do them. He's talking about availability for service. He's not talking about talent. Someone say, talent of this. If you don't use your talent, of arts. God would deny you your blessing, or he'll take it from you, as we say. Hallelujah. Which is not correct anyways. It's not correct. Are you with me? Are you guys there? Are you guys here? You know, it seems so quiet here. It's so quiet. It's so quiet in here. Hallelujah. You know, I don't know where Rachel is.
Yeah, yeah.
Hallelujah. All right.
I'm here.
All right. Good, 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 good. Bianca is always here. She's always here. Exactly. Exactly. She's here. Glory to God. You get. So, what are we meant to do as believers? We are meant to follow the template of Christ. The template of Christ in a consistent way. The template of Christ. We are not called to start, you know, we're not called to imitate the world. We're not called to that. It says preaching. It's not you sing, oh Father, I want you to give me a grace that when I sing, they'll give their life to Christ. Yeah? For that person to give their life to Christ or to receive Christ, they have to be preached to. They have to be preached to. Someone would have preached to them for them to know what you are singing about. Singing is for edifying the church. Look at Colossians 3 and verse 16. Singing is not evangelism. Singing is not evangelism. Look at Colossians 3. Colossians is in the New Testament. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord. It didn't say, let the word of Christ richly dwell in you, in all wisdom, right? Evangelizing and winning souls with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. It's never mentioned in the scriptures. I saw someone the other day, just went on the streets. What we call public evangelism or open air evangelism or busking. He was singing. Oh, 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 I don't even name it is. And he said, Lord, you should see the caption. Lord, let them come to Christ. Dear, if you want them to come to Christ and you are really meaning it, you preach. I remember I was doing this one particular event. I was singing. And you see, when I was singing, because, you know, obviously, some of us are, you know, you get, amen, hallelujah, glory to God. It's not everybody that has that grace. But anyways, so I was singing and, you know, you could see everyone caught attention and, you know, everyone just looking. Oh, so I tell you, they love the voice, they love the singing. Because I was just opening. I didn't want to just start teaching. I just sang and then everyone looked. When I was done singing, I started preaching. Then one lady, one of them that was passing, said, you should have just continued singing. I don't like this preaching. You should just keep singing. Your voice is good. I like the voice. I said, I told her, I didn't come here to sing. I didn't know what to do if I want to sing. I didn't come here to sing. I came here to preach. I was just singing to God. And then from there, you preach the gospel. Because it's the preaching that becomes the effective work. You find out that people do not stone Jesus for the miracles or for the artistic things or for those things that appeal to the human carnality or to the earthliness of man. You find out that it's through the words that he preached that they killed him. It's the words that make people to actually understand what you're saying. Until you preach, you haven't preached. That's why you find false converts in church that assume that they are born again simply because they sang a Sinach song. I've seen Muslims that are singing Sinach. I want more. They sing it, Muslims. I tell you the truth. You hear Muslims say, I mean, as a Muslim, I really love Pastor Chris. As a Muslim, I really love this, but I don't believe in Jesus. So, but I really love their song. I really love what's that one? I remember. Was it? I think it was the one that sang "Your Love Is Kind." Mercy Chinwo. You know, I really love it as a Muslim, and I'm sure some of them will go for experience. If they did not hear the gospel and they did not believe the gospel, they're not saved. Let's not fool ourselves thinking that they are saved. They are not saved because with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Man has to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has to believe that he is the Son of God, that God sent. He has to believe in his deity, He has to believe he's the Son of God. A Muslim does not believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He can sing your songs. He can dance to your songs. You find people doing gbegbe in church. Gbegbe in church. Oh yeah, Shekiti Baba. I don't even remember this. I don't know what Shekiti Baba is like. I don't know the dance. I don't know what it's like. You know, from the days of Azonto and all of those things and Yahuze, those old dance steps, and then we have the new ones, leg work and all of that stuff. That is the problem. You know, you take worldly things and you bring it to church. And say, you know, singing is supposed to edify the believer, not to entertain. We are not going to that right now, but we're talking about specifically for evangelism. But you see, the abilities of the believer are spiritual gifts. The abilities of the believer are spiritual gifts. Admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Hallelujah. What's that song that I heard the other day? There's this song that says, I can't remember. This God song, this big God song. I really can't remember. They just twisted the song and put God inside. And just, you know, somebody sang one, some of these secular musicians that sing songs. Just you bring it, maybe a song like, all of me loves all of, they just say, all of me, you just say, I don't want us to be too spiritual. You know, sometimes God in work, God does not want us to be too religious. God just wants us to, you know, it's relationship over religion. that's how people go into all manner of things. Christianity is not religion. It's not, don't be religious here. No. We have a relationship. We have a relationship because it, because all of me, Jesus, loves all of you. Love your glory and your power. And all your goodness and your mercy. I give your all to me. I give my all to you. The man in you knows that you're not singing to God. You know you're singing to the girl. You know that. Somewhere in your mind, you are thinking about the guy. What's his name again? John Legend. And you think Jesus just, you say, yes. Come on. We do not need to have a church concept of every worldly trend. We are asked to follow the dictates, the instructions, and the commands of Jesus Christ. The dictates of Jesus Christ. We are asked to follow his way, his pattern. So if you don't find Jesus introducing comedy into his meetings or to his evangelical meetings, you should not be found bringing comedy in your church. You have the joy of the Holy Ghost. So say, don't be too spiritual. Don't be too spiritual. That's the problem. That's why we don't know what God is. We don't know who God is. We don't know. We just keep complaining. The days, the old days, the revival, all the revival programs. In your revival, you just have madness. Sometimes it's as if you went to a club. Everybody shouting and not for good things, not for spiritual things, not for prayers or joy in the Holy Ghost. No, during the, you know, in church. Okay, let's not go to that thing. We are still about evangelism. If you look at 1 Corinthians 1, look at 1 Corinthians 1 quickly. 1 Corinthians 1. Say relationship over religion. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When you hear someone say that, just ask him. What James said, true religion. He called Christianity religion. True religion is making available needs for the poor and for the widows. That's true religion. Christianity is not like other religions, but it has its religious doctrines. It's a religion. For it to be a binding principle makes it a religion, but it is not a religious thing like the other ones. You do not need to do certain things for you to be justified, but it has specific principles that it works by. Hallelujah. Praise God. So when you say that, do not say it loosely. Okay? There should be a context, a right proper context for which such statements can be used. You know? Praise the name of Jesus. Not because you are relationship is over religion, you then start instead of preaching the gospel, you start doing TikTok, you find one thing, put like this, this, mix it together and say gospel, say comedy. I'm here, I'm doing comedy, Zwalakate, you know, just say hey, you now do. You find one girl that has this, you know, you see, people are very wise, but you don't know. And if you're not careful, you would learn from them. These are things that are very present everywhere you go. Just, I'm yet to see one person that claims to be innovative about the gospel, not bring nonsense into it. You won't find it. You say, I'm a comedian for Christ. No, you can't be a comedian for Christ. Christ, this is not, it's not something to be joked about. You don't joke about it. That's why you do not flow in the gifts of the Holy Ghost. That's why when you see, you know, I think I remember trying to minister to somebody. I was trying to minister to the person. I was trying to minister to the person, and I think it was a lady. And I was trying to talk to her about tongues, and when the person looked at me, she started laughing. You know why she was laughing? Because somewhere, somehow, that has been make people have made light of the gift of the Holy Ghost, tongues. Tongues, making light of it. She laughed. We thank God that eventually she got filled with the Holy Ghost. But initially, her carnal mind did not really receive it. It was by patient teaching that she got to believe and begin to flow in it. But initially, when you say, sometimes when somebody say, when they mock gifts of word of knowledge and all of that stuff, and there's someone, a pastor wants to actually flow in that gift, you find people are resistant to it. Why? Because somewhere it has been mocked. They now desensitize people from those gifts. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, praise God, hallelujah, 1 Corinthians 2, and I, brethren, came unto you not with the excellency of speech of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, right, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That is the message of Christ, the cross. I was with you in weakness, right, and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with persuasive, enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. It says, so that your faith should not stand, or should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So I said that when you use worldly systems like arts, innovations, to attempt to win souls, like those Muslims I mentioned, you have false converts. You have people that are not actually born again. That's the truth. That's why you hear a believer today tell you that there are many ways to God. That's a Christian. Or someone that identifies as one. Has he believed the gospel? I doubt it. For someone to confess that Jesus is not the Lord, he's not born again. They are not born again. Don't even think about it. They are not born again. For you to be saved means you have seen the light. You have received life. For you to receive life means you have believed the truth. You cannot be saved if you do not believe that Jesus is the only way. And that he's God. You can't be saved. No. You can't be saved. Someone say, really? Yes, that's the truth. Jesus is God. If you don't believe that, you cannot be saved. It says, when you use worldly systems, you know, gimmicks, you know, instead of, you know, I'm aware of so many things that believers do, and it's unfortunate. You know, we use the worldly system to run church, what we call it, church growth strategy. Oh Jesus. Church growth strategy. It's easy, let me say, see, it's easy to preach. Okay, let me take it back. Preaching is one thing, right? But preaching and doing the will of God is another thing. There's something called, you know, when an entertainer or a content creator wants to grow his audience or grow his profits, what they do is they organize programs, right? And bring side attractions, you know, those other influencers to come there. So what happens is that because of those other influencers, it raises the bar of that program, of that conference. And what happens, they now attach a fee to it. So when you are coming, you are sure that you're coming to pay. All right, you're going to give them more. So whether they're paying for the hall or whatever it is, you have people, they gain more money. And then second thing is that happens that you now gain more members. So you don't really want to do too much. Let it be fun. Then you can now demonstrate more Holy Ghost. Or prophesy. You prophesy. You organize those. Don't organize. Don't say Jesus meeting. Say singles and married. And then in the midst of singles and married, you now preach about Jesus. It's a gimmick that the church borrows from the world, and they do it today. Many churches that are growing now are growing, are not growing in the sight of God. The growth of the believer is growth in the spirit. You can't find somebody. Your whole life is based on ephemerals. The theatrics of ministry. If there's no light and there's no sound, there's no ministry. No. Hallelujah. Paul said, I did not. So which means he had the ability to use it, to use eloquency. When they say eloquency, there's nothing wrong with being eloquent. But when he uses it as a gimmick, he uses as an you know, in a crafty manner to win souls. He said, then in that case, your faith would now be a carnal faith. I wrote recently that spirituality can be carnal. When someone is saying, ah, yes, the gospel forever, it doesn't mean the person understands what he's saying. He can understand it in a different way, in a naturalistic sense. Oh, yes, power forever, the Holy Ghost forever. Their mind of Holy Ghost sometimes can be praise meetings, you know, organize a lot of praise party forever. You know, that's the mind. Because that's what they were brought to church with. And people like Paul Washer say, when you bring people with carnal things, you will need carnal things to maintain them in your church. And Paul says, so that your faith would not rest in carnal things. So, for example, so you're saying that if your music is not good, you won't attend the church. Oh, would they even come to the church first without the good music? That's how you know the people that are really there for the truth. If I did not come to you because of something else rather than Christ, I cannot leave you for another reason. Yes. That's why Jesus, he was teaching in John chapter 6. All right? John chapter 6. He taught them for about 3 days in the wilderness. In John 6, he then said, when he went to another place about over the riverside, and they came to meet him there, Jesus said, I know that you do not follow me because of the miracles, the signs that you have seen, but you are following because I gave you bread. You are here because I gave you bread. Now, this is Jesus who was already teaching, though. But then he now introduced something that, yo, philanthropists. He now gave them food, and it's not nothing wrong. But these people simply followed him for that specific thing. He said, I know that's why. And then he said to him, I give you, the bread you eat, now you eat and you to perish. He said, do not labor for the meat that perisheth. Right? But labor for the one that does not perish. Hallelujah. He then says to them, he says, I am the bread of life. Anyone that does not eat my flesh and drink my blood does not have life. Oh, that's discrimination. How dare he say that? So who are you to tell us that? We do not have life. We do not have a relationship with God. We are not in the Father's kingdom. We cannot enter the kingdom if we do not. Is there not to eat his flesh and drink his blood? That's what they said. And then the scripture says from there, so many of them left him. Why? Because he didn't give them bread again. And probably some of them were a part of the crowd that you know, you supported his execution. Why? Because they were never there for the truth. And then Jesus turned to his disciples and said, ah, aren't you guys going to go as well? And that's how the believers should think. Don't let the crowd to lead you. Don't do that. Let God's will lead you. Let it be that you guys already know this. I do not do anything because of anybody. I do not place myself in a place, in a spot where my ministry becomes political so that I'll try to please people. No. As much as we are not negative, we are not sadistic. No, but we are just simply, we hold God's word in sacredness and we love people genuinely, right? We believe in the best of people. We are available for people, right? Amen. But we are not also, we do not take God's word. We do not take men's desires in substitution for God's own desire. We do not do that. But see, Jesus told them, he says, aren't you guys going to go as well? Aren't you gonna go? If you want to go, you can go. I came here to do something. And once I'm done, I'm out. That's how the believer should think. He said, no, Lord. Peter said to him, Lord, where do we go? Where do we go? He says, we don't have any other place to go. Because the words you are speaking, they're words of life. The words you are speaking. Jesus said, the words I speak to you, they are what? Spirits. And their life. That means the life he was talking about and the bread he was talking about was faith in his words. Halabash. Hallelujah. That is Christian ministry. Words. 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 That's Christian ministry. Amen. And that's what happens. God has given us not just salvation, but that salvation came with a specific ethic to follow. And when we are going to preach the gospel, Kabadosh Kehibra Anagosha, thank you, Lord. Manaha, we preach with the power of God. Paul says, I did not come to you with the excellency of speech, but I came to you with the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Now, when he says demonstration of Spirit and power, as we just read, it's not merely referring to miracles. If you want to know what that power is, if you just look at the previous chapter, that's 1 Corinthians 1, verse 21, it says, all right? Verse 21. Is it 21 now? Alright, verse 18. It says, for the preaching, that's the message, right, of the cross, to them that perish is foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Romans 1, verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is what? It is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and unto the Greek. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 24. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. So that message is more powerful than your innovations. That simplistic message. Help me with the pronunciation. You understand? Simplistic message. Is it simplistic? The simple message. That basic message is that one that is the power of God. How can God, all of God, just need something by preaching? Doesn't he need some act, embellishments? No, he does not. He does not. No, that's why even your church services, your churches, you should try as much as possible to not make it look like a theatrical center. So that when people are coming, they know they're coming to hear the word. They're not coming to cinema. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's all right. You know, church is a school. Have you ever gone to school and then you see lights? And when the lecturer is teaching, you just see everywhere is dark and then only him is teaching. There's nothing wrong with it, right? But as much as there's nothing wrong with it, hear this one, there's nothing wrong with it. But you see, as much as possible, you want to avoid anything that makes it look theatrical. Just make it so, it's supposed to be deliberate. Let it be deliberately simple. Nothing wrong with using projectors, but personally, my own service, we're not using projector unless the Lord helps us and we say, okay, let's use projector. I believe everybody should just look at the Bible, open the Bible for yourself, open the scriptures. If you're a newcomer, we'll teach you how to open the Bible. It's that simple. Praise God. That's what it is. That's just what it is. Hallelujah. Amen. So you see, that's God's word. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. So we preach the gospel with what? The word of God, the message of Christ. You must be able to, whether you are a singer and you have a beautiful voice, you have to use it for God. Use it for the Lord. Use it for the Lord's glory. Amen. Whether you are a dancer, why did you say use it for the Lord? Because dancing is not for edification. Arts is not for edification. That is as a drawing. That's drawing. It's not for edification. You don't find it. Singing, because singing has words. That's edification. You can edify with words, but words with a melody. Amen. Words with a, that's what singing is. Right? It's not when you start a record label and do all those many things that people do. But anyways, that's not my business. There's a different. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, glory to God. Let's not get on certain levels right now. I'm also a minister. I do not want to disturb my shine. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. So we end here. We close here. So the preaching of God's word has to be by the word. By preaching. And then we end with this. Look at the book of Mark. Oh, glory to God. You know, next meeting. Holy Spirit, thank you. I'm gonna just walk a little bit with the gifts of the Holy Ghost. So look at verse Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Read 15 to the end as we close. Are you there? Mark 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, go into the world and preach the gospel unto everybody. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. And this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, and they shall speak with me. Notice that Jesus is not talking about arts, he's talking about supernatural things. Amen. He says in verse 15, they shall take up serpents, and if they shall drink any deadly thing, they shall not hurt them, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall evangelize. Look at verse 19. So then, after the Lord has spoken, listen carefully. So then, after the Lord has spoken unto them, they proceeded up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them, confirming the word with signs following. So there's a word and there's a sign following. There were musicians there, but they didn't go playing. The word and signs following. With evangelism, when you evangelize, do small power. Amen. Ha ha ha. Do small power. Amen. Don't just power. God says confirming. Ah, yeah. Confirm. That means even the word you are preaching, you are meant to understand. You are meant to believe it. So there's a confirmation. So how do you confirm that? Can you please confirm this transaction? I confirm it. It is valid. So the validity of our word is in signs and wonders. So when you are not doing signs and wonders, you are not confirming your word. Hallelujah. The abilities of the believer is called the abilities. Next meeting, going to work on this a little bit. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So there's an ability with us. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. There's an ability with you. Let's say this together. There's an ability in me. Hallelujah. There's an ability in me. If you can unmute your mic, that'll be good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Father. Thank you, Holy Ghost. There's an ability in me. There's an ability in me. The ability of God to work miracles, to work signs and wonders. I'm able to confirm His word with signs and wonders following. Yeah. The Spirit of God is at work in me and will walk through me. The word will always be confirmed with signs and wonders following. The word is confirmed. Hallelujah. The word is confirmed. In the name of Jesus. You receive signs and wonders in our works, in our ministry as we preach God's word. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God.